Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on a Thursday evening / Friday edition of Yard. Hope things are well with you. For those of you listening to the show on Friday, I hope it's payday for you. It's a travel day for us. We'll be headed to Branson, Missouri tonight. We'll head up there. We'll enjoy a little time up there and then cruise on into Columbia the next morning. We're excited. You should be too. We're going to also take, and you know, we try to get out and do some prospect work while we're out there. You know, go see some of the future Bulldogs play. And so we're going to see 6'9", 230-pound center Tristan Reed of Link Academy play Friday night. So we're going to switch it up a little bit. So we'll have some basketball recruiting stuff for you over at jeanspage.com. Be VIP content, but we're looking forward to the high school basketball action on Friday night. So you can look for that content Saturday morning before the game. And again, we're eager to get there. Hope that you guys have big plans for the weekend. It will be a busy weekend for us. You know, road games, home games, it's all the same. We got to be there. We have an obligation to you to be there. We don't take that lightly. We look forward to bringing you full coverage from Columbia, Missouri. On today's show, we'll preview the SEC weekend, got a cool top 10 list. We'll talk a little bit about our final thoughts from Missouri. We'll look at some basketball stuff too. And so we'll share that with you and hope that we keep you up to date and informed. A lot of other things going on in the world of Mississippi State Athletics, as you guys are well aware. So again, Friday's a travel day for us. You won't see me on the message boards much on Friday when we stop to eat and that sort of stuff. We'll get caught up. And so I'll share that with you as we'll get ready to go. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and we have for a long, long time. And since they opened in Starkville, we have loved them. We have had a raging love affair with Bulldog Burger Company, because we know when we go in there and put our feet under their table, we're going to be well taken care of. We're going to get amazing food at great prices with exemplary service and an incredible atmosphere. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. You know, I get the spring rolls a lot, so I've been able to maintain this youthful appearance, but sometimes I'm just kind of craving some chicken wings. And I think the chicken wings at Bulldog Burger Company are kind of, as the kids say, kind of a low-key favorite. I love it, man. I do. Sometimes I'll just get the chicken wings as my entree. Get the spring rolls as my appetizer, and then get chicken wings with that great ranch dressing. It's made fresh every day. You got to love that. It's true. Find your own favorites. You know, one of the main reasons you go there is for hamburgers, right? It's Bulldog Burger Company for a reason. You can't go wrong with the Bulldog Burger itself, the signature burger. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a great straight-ahead rock and roll hamburger. It is. If you want to branch out on a wild side a little bit, let me recommend the Pimentology Add Bacon. It will put some hair on your chest. It's important to know that. That is not a hamburger for the lighthearted, shall we say. You get that chocolate shake to go, you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, let's jump right into our SEC weekend preview. We got 8 games this week, if memory serves me correct. We'll start with the morning game, kicking off 11 a.m. Central from College Station, Texas. It's South Carolina and Texas A&M. You start working through the probabilities with A&M. And I think at this point it's pretty obvious they're the best team in the Southeastern Conference. Their record certainly reflects that. 9-0. I don't know if they're getting enough juice in the playoff rankings, but the way they're running the football and playing defense, I think they'll take care of all that themselves. Now, South Carolina's situation is much different. The Gamecocks now 3-6. Kind of interesting to kind of look back. You know, beginning of the year, people were thinking maybe 5 or 7, 6-6. Well, you're 3-6 now. You got a road trip to College Station, and then you finish up with a home date against Coastal, and then the rivalry game against Clemson. And Clemson hadn't been good this year either. I'm sure you guys have kept up. I thought about this earlier today. Do you remember what a big deal we thought it was that LSU went to Clemson back in week one and everybody danced on the field and they thought that was just so cool? I mean, like, looking back now in hindsight, it's one of those things you're like, dude, there's just like no way. Like, how in the world can you look back now in hindsight and feel like, you know what, that was a good game. That was a great win. Neither one of those teams are going anywhere, you know. But 4-5. That's where Clemson sits today. So it could be a scenario where South Carolina, in their season of misery, as they've lost four straight, could prove to be a spoiler and maybe be the team that knocks Clemson out of a bowl game. You know, we'll see. So this whole thing with South Carolina and Texas A&M is just the two programs going in opposite directions. And give Mike Elko and the Aggies a lot of credit. It's usually the November swoon for them. They've kind of gotten over the hump, it appears. And so they should be 10-0 after this week. The question is, do they cover? 19.5 points in an SEC game, that's interesting. I mean, it truly is. South Carolina can play a little bit of defense, too. I'm taking the Aggies to win, but I think Carolina probably covers here. Now, again, 19.5 points in the SEC is a lot. It truly is. Now, this time of year, you know, you kind of are who you are. Not a lot of mystery when you take the field. But, again, you go back and you kind of look at this whole thing. They gave up 29 points to Alabama and 30 to Ole Miss. But outside of that, they play pretty well. Give up 11 to Virginia Tech. I guess they give up 31 to Vandy. But, you know, they've been in games for the most part. You know, they blast Kentucky 35-13. They go to Tiger Stadium and lose by 10, lose by 19 to Oklahoma, and just by 7 to Alabama, and 16 to Ole Miss. And so I think what we're going to do is just kind of ride the trend. And I also think the fact that the A&M really wants to run the football probably allows this game to be a little bit lower scoring. The over-under is 50.5. I'm not ready to take the under on it, but I won't be surprised if this game ends up being a game that's a little more competitive than people expect. I think the Aggies win without any real anxiety, but I think Carolina will make a little bit of a game of this thing. Arkansas and LSU. Man, you talk about a game of irrelevance here. You know, remember the Golden Boot? Remember they tried to make that a big thing? Man, nobody cared. Arkansas now 2-7, 0-5 in the SEC. LSU 5-4. It's exactly where Bobby Petrino wants LSU, right? You know, Frank Wilson, the interim coach, and I saw some things out here. People were like, man, there's so many recruits in town. Let me just say it like this, okay? The Louisiana kids are going to go to LSU no matter who the coach is. Doesn't matter if it's me, you, Frank Wilson, Flip Wilson. Doesn't make any difference, right? Frank's not getting that job, nor should he. But the reality of it is, if you're Arkansas, you got nothing to lose. You've also had the benefit of an open date. You know, it's incredible to think about that aspect of it. And the tail end of the schedule for Arkansas is not great. You're 2-7. You're not making a bowl game. You're at LSU. You're at Texas. And then you host Missouri for Senior Day. Does that still hold a sense of nostalgia for people? You know, I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I think it's probably an individual type decision, but in these days of NIL and transfer portal and that kind of stuff, I think it's kind of lost its luster just a little bit. Just my thinking. But again, it's so interesting to look back at this Arkansas thing. You know, they fire Sam Pittman. And since that time, man, Arkansas has had one of the most prolific offenses in the conference. But yet, they're 0-4 under Petrino. A lot of it's because the defense is so bad. And we knew that secondary was going to be shaky before the season even opened. But, man, they've been so bad against the run, too. LSU hasn't been able to run the football well. The thing that I wonder about, and I really felt like this LSU defense is going to be elite, but they've spent so much time on the field because they can't sustain offensive drives. You're 5-4 at home, favored by 5.5. We're going to take LSU here because I think in the end, being at home, even though it's a day game, you know, LSU gets their way with all this stuff sometimes when it comes to night games. But I think LSU finds a way to get this thing done. That's just, you know, nothing would surprise me. Like if I looked up and Arkansas was up 17-0, it would not surprise me. Absolutely would not surprise me. But can they sustain that? You know, those are the things you kind of begin to ask yourself. And I do find it interesting, and I know that this is a shock to so many. Talon Green is not listed on the Arkansas availability report. I know there were some people out there that kind of suggested that, you know, he may not live to see another day, but yet he's going to play. He's going to play. Okay. Important to understand that. A lot of theater out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. We'll take the Tigers in the 5.5. Tennessee Tech is at Kentucky. There's no line at this game. If you're looking for something to do in the greater Lexington area this weekend, you can get tickets to this ball game for as low as $14. Come game time, you may have somebody be willing to just give you some. But what's interesting about this, even though there is no line, Tennessee Tech is undefeated. And that's the thing you start thinking about. Everybody's like, yeah, Stoops is coming back. I mean, they got a couple in a row. Man, if they lose to Tennessee Tech, now they're not going to fire him. But, man, you talk about how this is just be crazy, right? So the last home game is against Tennessee Tech, and then Kentucky is at Vandy at Louisville. There's still the possibility of a bowl game. They got to get a dub this week, I think. Now, you win this week, you're 5-5 with two road games to go, one of which is a rivalry game. Vanderbilt obviously is playing for something of significance, maybe a tough ball game there. But you got three games left to get two, and one of those two is an FCS team. They just happen to be undefeated. So we'll see how it plays out. But I won't be surprised if Kentucky wins this thing maybe in somewhat of an embarrassing fashion. You've had two back-to-back kind of emotional games, and you play pretty well. There's got to be a letdown somewhere. Again, Kentucky will out-athlete Tennessee Tech, but don't be surprised if you look up at halftime and this thing is a one-score game.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Oklahoma and Alabama. This will be a fun one, right? Don't you think? You know, two college blue bloods kind of going at each other now as conference foes. Should be fun. You know, our attention is elsewhere. You know, and it's interesting, too, how that Nick Saban, now that he's no longer there, that Alabama's bandwagon fan base, and there's some good Alabama fans, don't get me wrong, but, you know, those that were just kind of following along, you know, just kind of picking the winners, they've kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. Have you noticed that, or is it just me? Maybe it's just me. But what's interesting about Alabama and Oklahoma is they've only had a handful of regular season meetings. This will just be the fourth one. They've had four bowl appearances against each other, but they played a home-and-home back in 02 and 03. Oklahoma won both of those, and then Oklahoma won last year against Alabama. So should Alabama win this week, and we're going to pick them to do so, it'll be Alabama's first ever regular season win against Oklahoma. The Sooners are 4-2-1 all time against Alabama. Were you aware of that? Probably not. Alabama's only had one win against Oklahoma since 1963. They won 17-0 in the Orange Bowl in 63, and they won a game in 18 in the Orange Bowl. That's it. Again, it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, two teams, such storied histories, have avoided playing each other so long, but that's kind of the Bear Bryant doctrine, right? New Mexico State's at Tennessee. Tennessee has kind of disappointed me a little bit. And to be fair about that, you know, they lose Nico with the last practice before the spring game. It's still, man, just such hokey nonsense. But Tennessee is 6-3. I thought they may have a decent chance to get back to the playoffs. When we played them, I said, you know, somebody's going to get them that probably shouldn't. And I don't know that that's been the case. You know, you lose to Georgia and Alabama. That's kind of par for the course. But they did lose to Oklahoma at home. And it's one of those deals you think, okay, they probably should have won this game. You know, Tennessee probably should have had better talent. But they weren't able to get it done. So that's kind of something to consider, too. But you got New Mexico State this week, then you're at Florida and home against Vanderbilt. Now, I would suggest Tennessee should win all three of Vanderbilt playoff play-in game. We'll see. But it's kind of interesting to look at it, this thing now, and just, you know, Tennessee just still kind of hanging around the top 25. They're favored by 38.5 in this game against New Mexico State. New Mexico State's 3-6 on the year. The thing that I ask myself, and this is what makes these games so dangerous, you've got a huge spread, and you don't know how motivated Tennessee is going to be at this point in the year. You know what I mean? Like late? I mean, you got big games coming up. You probably want to save some people. But, man, the Aggies have lost four straight. Lost at Liberty, Missouri State, at Western Kentucky, and then to Kennesaw State. They'll be at Tennessee, then at UTEP, and close up with Middle Tennessee State. So, clinging by a thread to the possibility of bowl eligibility. It's just, you know, they'd have to get a win this week, and it's just not going to happen. So, honestly, I think Tennessee just comes out and just envelops these guys early, probably up 35-0 at the break, and then you probably coast some in the second half. But I just don't think that even New Mexico State's first team could compete with Tennessee's Bandits. I think in the end, Tennessee finds a way to get this thing done, winning and covering. That's how I feel. I think that they'll come out and just chunk it all over the field early, and it'll be 35-0 or something to break. Florida at Ole Miss, and this is another interesting one. You remember last year, Ole Miss had some big things happen. They go to Florida. That Florida secondary is still very athletic. Gave them a lot of trouble, and Jackson Dart gave Florida the football multiple times. But Florida's 3-6. Of course, you know, we all knew beginning of the year Billy Napier's seat was the hottest in the Southeastern Conference, probably behind him was Sam Pittman. Both those guys are gone. But, you know, Florida, of course, beats us, and then under Billy Gonzalez as an interim coach, they're 0-2. And they gave Georgia a fit and then looked terrible against Kentucky. You'd think Billy would know from all those years with Dan Mullen, you got to be careful at Kroger Field. Well, they weren't. They got smashed. I think that's one of the worst things that happens to Ole Miss, though. There's so much going on right now. There's so much noise in the background about Lane Kiffin leaving, going to Florida. And now you've got Florida, a team that's dropped 2 in a row. They're not going anywhere at the end of the year. I mean, like, you look at the end of the schedule, man. They're 3-6 at Ole Miss and then home against Tennessee and Florida State. And Florida State hadn't been great. But, man, you start thinking about this, man. I think people were saying 4-8, 5-7. That's going to be pretty close to the mark. The thing about this one, I think Ole Miss wins the game. That understood. There's a lot of chatter in Oxford. Even Neil McReady and Chase Parham, who are now network partners with us, are saying, you know, they think he's going to leave. The Ole Miss fans need to wake up to the possibility that Lane Kiffin may leave. And one of the things I want to say about that, Ole Miss folks, you kind of do it to yourself. You're convinced that everybody thinks that Oxford is like some Taj Mahal. That's just not true. okay? You may love it like that, just like I love Starkville that way. I don't want to live anywhere else. I like to vacation every now and again, but I love it here. Love the people here. I'm sure you feel the same way about Oxford. But if you think any of these hired hands, these mercenaries, have the same affinity for your town that you do, you are kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. You know, Justin Parker's situation is a little bit different. And Justin Parker, like last year, I'm seeing the pain on his face. So, man, this is a great place to raise a family. I hope we get to stay. And they do. They do. And Justin Parker probably won't leave Mississippi State until he becomes a head coach. But that's on the baseball side. Mississippi State is a blue blood baseball program. Where else would you want to be as an assistant coach than Mississippi State working for Brian O'Connor? Unless it's maybe in Baton Rouge working with Jay Johnson, but you know, as a guy that's lived in both places, I'm picking Starkville every time. And so with all this noise in the machine, you got to wonder, can Ole Miss cover? I think they win, but I'm taking Florida to cover. I think Florida might actually scare them a little bit. I think Florida will put a scare into Ole Miss, but ultimately the home crowd will do enough. You know, and it's like there'll be all these people out here that, you know, with too much makeup on and, the walk of chokers out there saying, Lane, please don't leave us. Please, we love you. Please don't leave us. I thought you loved Oxford. Tell yourself whatever you need to feel better. Again, we're taking Ole Miss to win, but Florida to cover. Big ball game in primetime, not just ours against Missouri. Texas and Georgia. Top 10 matchup. Going to be interesting. You know, Texas, of course, had the bye week last week. You know, Georgia had to come here. Did you know Georgia only had 3 true road games this year? It's true. It's true. They have the neutral site game with Florida, and that serves as one team's home game. The other team's got to go play a neutral site game and then have 4 road games, while one team, when it's their year, they could have the neutral site game and then 3 road games. It's kind of weird how that works, but it is what it is. But Texas and Georgia, I love the matchup. I like Georgia's ability to run the football against Texas. I like Georgia's ability to disguise some coverages against Arch Manning. Now, that Georgia secondary at times has shown some leaks. That Georgia front at times has struggled to get to the passer. But these are the kinds of games that you're Steve Sarkisian, you went out and signed Arch Manning to win. And Arch has played better as of late. Kind of got turned around against us in that second half. But I like Georgia here. Toss-up games tend to favor the home team. We're going to go with Georgia. And we've seen both of these teams in person at Davis-Wade Stadium. I think Georgia just has more together, right? Again, we let Texas off the hook. We're up 17 points in the fourth quarter. There's no way we should have lost that game. Against Georgia, at no point did it ever feel like we were in control or going to win that game. Right? So just based on the eye test against a common opponent, I got to go Georgia here. And we'll talk more about the Mississippi State-Missouri game kind of towards the end of the show. But the thing that we've talked about on the show, too, is with all this chaos in college football and all this coaching carousel type stuff, all that stuff is important, right? What does that mean for your team? Now, these people out here that are saying that this guy has signed a contract and this guy has told his team that, guys, don't believe any of that stuff. Nobody is going to go tell their team when they're in the middle of playing for something of significance and there's still games to play. They're not leaving today. They're not going to tell them until they're leaving. It just didn't work that way. There may be a lot of rumors and media reports and things of that nature, and of course stuff that some people just completely make up. But nobody's leaving with 3 games to go in the season for another job. It just didn't work that way. There's an understanding between the schools. It just didn't work that way. So when you read all this stuff out there, understand a lot of it's just wishful thinking. I know the Florida board seems pretty confident that they have Lane Kiffin. You know, there was some other people, of course, over the years that have been deluded into believing that their school was going to hire certain coaches too. You remember Steve Spurrier's wife supposedly was out at Old Waverly looking at houses, right? All of that stuff is just noise right now. Now, some of it's going to prove to come true, right? Some of it is going to be based in actual facts. But there's so much of this around the league right now. And like, you go read the Missouri board, there are people that won't drink what's gone. There are some people that hope he takes the Penn State job. And again, if I'm Missouri, I don't think you want to be hiring a football coach this year. I don't know what you tell yourself. I mean, you've proven with drink there that you can win. You did the same thing with Gary. So you can win, and you might even be able to get to Atlanta every now and again. So I don't think you got to go settle for a bottom-rung coach, but I don't think you're going to get anybody as good as Eli Drinkwitz. And you start thinking about the whole Shane Beamer thing to Virginia Tech. I mean, the more they lose these ball games, less likely that's going to be. And one of the things that I would point out to people, too, that are, you know, kind of talking about James Franklin, he has a duty to mitigate. He doesn't have a duty to sign a contract. You know, he's got to go out there and find the best deal for himself. And so he's got to go talk to people. He can't just sit at home and say, I'm thinking about it, right? So you start working through all of this. Again, there are four openings. And if the rumors are to be believed, there's going to be at least two more, right? If the court of public opinion renders a positive verdict here, Lane Kiffin's leaving, which would open up Ole Miss. And then Eli Drinkwitz is leaving, which would open up Missouri. And then we'll see what happens, you know, with Clark Lee and Shane Beamer. But, you know, you got to think six openings in a league like this, in a year where there doesn't seem to be a lot of obvious candidates, somebody in this game of musical chairs is going to get stuck with a coach that maybe is not ready for the SEC. You know, we all hope it's Ole Miss, obviously. You know, but give Ole Miss some credit, too. Lane Kiffin has shown that you can win and win big there. Maybe you can't win the whole enchilada. But that administration has shown they're willing to throw money at the program. The fan base has shown they're willing to fund NIL. And so I think Lane Kiffin obviously leaves Ole Miss in a much better position than he found it. But don't think he's in love with Oxford. If he was in love with Oxford, he would just go ahead and say, I'm not interested. Now, you got to, you know, let your agent do your talking for you. But you know, you could put a stop to all this nonsense right now. You could go fire off a tweet right now. And I think there are some people that like the attention, but also there are people that are represented by very important and impressive people that want to, they like the fact that there is some uncertainty. They can use that as leverage. Because you know what's happening? You know, you've got some of these Ole Miss fans out here, and it's not just them, right? They're emailing their athletic director saying, we can't let him leave. Do whatever we have to do. Drop a sport if you have to. You know, our company's willing to give this, or our people are willing to give this. There's a lot of people with a lot of resources who are saying, you know, hey, we're finally winning and winning big. We think we're one thing away from the playoff. You can't let him leave. Now, on the Mississippi State side of things, you're looking at that and think about how heartbreaking that would be to see that happen, right? It's a rivalry. Let's never forget that. It's a rivalry. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so, yeah, I mean, the only thing that compares to good news in Starkville is bad news in Oxford. And if you're a member at jeanspage.com, you can go read their message boards for free. And I venture to say we probably have the most reliable of the Ole Miss publishers on our network. So when you go read what they're having to say, it's really more based in fact than an emotion. So I think that's a benefit that we have. And I think about that kind of going into our Egg Bowl coverage, too. I'm excited, but I want to go win a football game this weekend. And then we'll enjoy an open date. We'll enjoy Thanksgiving with the fam. I'm going to head back down to Columbia, Miss for probably my first Thanksgiving in about 10 years. I think that's right. Maybe longer than that. I think it is longer than that. I think it's probably 2013 maybe. But usually we go to my sister's. But since we don't have an Egg Bowl to come back and cover on Thursday night, we're going to make the day trip down to Columbia, Miss. You never know. Might throw the football around a little bit. We'll see. And then we'll get back in time to cover the Egg Bowl on Friday. But I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to the open date. I think your Bulldogs need it, and I think we need it too. But as I wrote earlier today, man, we have had a ton of mileage this year. A ton. as a fan base. As I noted in the article, you don't in the same year, you don't get LSU, Alabama, Auburn, or Ole Miss on the road. You only play one of them and you play them at home. So every other road trip that we take is at least 7 hours. It within the league. I mean, obviously we went down to Hattiesburg. That's very fan unfriendly. Just my take on it. You may disagree, but that's how I feel. All right, time for our close with Blair, player of the day. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Save this number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may not remember Blair's name, but you'll remember when you need mortgage help. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair is a bulldog just like me and you. He rides the wave of emotion just like me and you. Well, probably not like me. He's a little more emotional than me. It's true. Blair also getting married again soon. A lot of changes in Blair's life. Blair also has set out on his own, now has a Fairway Mortgage affiliate. 25 years of experience. Nobody stays in a meat grinder of an industry like that by accident. There's a reason the website's called closewithblair.com. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler. Give him a call or text today. He can help you navigate through the labyrinth that is underwriting. Close with Blair. All right, our close of Blair player today is going to be Blake Chapin. Now, back on Monday, Jeff Levy said, you know, Blair didn't do much today. Blair probably didn't do much on Monday, but Blake didn't do much on Monday. Well, the first thing that I'll tell you, Monday is basically a walkthrough for us. Nobody does much on Monday. So was Coach playing some word games with us? I don't know. You know, Blake's a little bit beat up. It's been a long season, obviously. You know, it's one of those things, too, where, you know, Blake's a guy that not the biggest guy, and he's taking some punishment because the offensive line at times hasn't been good. I had about convinced myself Camario would start this week. I still think he takes a lot of snaps, and I think a lot of it's going to depend on the flow of the game. Camario, I think, is getting enough experience that his confidence level is rising, but maybe having him start as a true freshman on the road in a must-win game in an SEC sellout crowd environment is probably not the best decision. So I do think Blake Chapin ultimately starts for us on Saturday. Availability report comes out, Blake's listed as probable. I thought he would be listed as questionable, and then it'd probably be a game-time decision. But based on what I have heard and what we have read, it's pretty evident that he is going to be available. And I know some people are upset about that. But I think if you think about, look at what Chris Parson did on the road at A&M, and I think Camario was a little more mentally tough than Chris was at the time. And I love Chris. I do, and I wish him the best. But again, on the road in an SEC road environment in front of a sellout crowd on senior day, it's probably not the best time to start him. Not to mention, State's been able to script out these first drives and get off on the right foot. So what if we can go up there and get up 7-0 and then have an opportunity to get a stop and then let Camario do some things? So I do think you probably see a little bit more of Camario this week than you have in some other weeks. And I think situationally you use him a little bit more, again, just kind of based on the flow of the game. But in order for us to win, I think we're going to need Blake Chapin to play well to get that sixth win, get us bowl eligible heading into an open date, and then we have 2 weeks to fully prepare for Ole Miss. That's how I see it today. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. They're your guitar shop. They're run by Bulldogs who happen to be guitar players. What could be better than that, right? They love Mississippi State. They love instruments. They love preparing your instrument. They love playing the instrument, right? I like to buy guitars from people that know how to play guitars. I'm not very good. So I trust everybody else's level of expertise. And the guitar that I own from Kalido Guitars is the best guitar I have ever had. It not only is the quality of the instrument far surpassed anything that I've ever owned, the setup of said guitar, the level of service that I have received from Kalita Guitars is unsurpassed. Christmas is coming up. Maybe it's time to buy yourself something. You can do that. You're an adult, right? You don't have to wait for Christmas, but you could say, you know what? I'm buying myself an early Christmas present. Or there's another guitar player in your life, and maybe it's time to help them upgrade their equipment. And so even if it's not a new guitar, but you could find acoustic, classical, and electrical guitars at Electric Guitars at Kalita Guitars, maybe you want to be that favorite aunt or uncle and get the gig bag. Maybe you want to get the case or get some strings, some cables, anything accessory-wise you can find at KalitaGuitars.com. Now, if you want to stop by and see their expansive showroom, you can do that in Lake Jackson, Texas, just south of Houston. But I'm going to give you a promo code you can use. You can use it in person, over the phone, or online. Promo code is BSR, and that gets you a 10% discount. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. That gets you no shipping and a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What could be better than that? What great incentive to do business with a Mississippi State business, even though they are out of state. Be sure and check them out today, KalitaGuitars.com. All right, some of you may have heard the news by now, and if you haven't, I'll share it with you. One of the greats in our lifetime, the great David Coverdale, has announced his retirement. And, you know, like a lot of people, you know, Dave, obviously, his, you know, vocal delivery now as an older guy is, you know, not what it once was. That's the case for all of us, man. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just how life works. At some point, we all reach the level of diminishing returns. And how, what gentlemanly actions from Dave to say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and hang it up. I don't think he wants to be that guy that you see struggling on stage late. Dave posted a video yesterday. It says, after 50 years plus of an incredible journey with you, with Deep Purple, Whitesnake, Jimmy Page, the last few years, it's been evident to me that it's time, really, for me to hang up my rock and roll platform shoes and my skin-tight jeans. It's time for me to call it a day. I love you dearly. I thank everyone who's assisted and supported me on this incredible journey. All the musicians, the crew, the fans, the family, it's amazing. But it really is time for me to just enjoy my retirement, and I hope you can appreciate that. Once again, I love you with all my heart. Fare thee well. David Coverdale. So in honor of David's retirement, we're going to do a David Coverdale top 10. Now, it's not going to be a Whitesnake top 10. We're going to pick 10 songs from the solo work, which is actually some of my favorite David Coverdale work in the catalog. So, you know, Dave, people forget this. You know, Dave was the lead singer of Deep Purple for a while. And in between the Deep Purple and the Whitesnake years, Dave put out a couple of solo albums. And then formed Whitesnake. So the debut solo album was actually called Whitesnake. Then he came back with North Winds, which is the better of the two. And the production value on these albums, not great, okay? He wasn't getting Led Zeppelin 4 treatment. It's very bluesy. He uses a lot of the lower register of his vocal delivery. There's not a lot of gym notes, as he used to say. But I wanted to introduce you to these tracks if you're unfamiliar. If you love Whitesnake and you love David Coverdale, you're going to love these two. Again, not quite as rocking as the Whitesnake stuff and a little bit bluesier than the Deep Purple stuff. I think it's something that you'll enjoy. All right, number 10, I wanted to start with this one. If you watch Days of Thunder, this was on the soundtrack. It's the last note of freedom. And as soon as you hear it, you're going to be like, I remember this song. Yeah, that came out like right in the beginning of the, when Whitesnake began to take America. Like they had some success in Europe, but they had not quite conquered America, and this was kind of in the beginning of that era. Number 9, It was a bonus track on the North Winds album. And it's got some keys to it. It's a little bit different. It's kind of typical for the era. But it's Sweet Mistreater. That's your number 9 track. Now, number 8, going back to the debut solo album. And again, it wasn't rated very high. And that's perfectly okay. Perfectly okay. Great track here called Time on My Side. And David obviously wrote this and along with Mickey Moody. And it's been remastered within the last couple of years. So, the versions that you can find on iTunes and Spotify are better than the original, more times than not. Number 7. And this is one of those songs that has some staying power. And it's a beautiful love song. And that's really what it's about. It's about longevity with one person. And the song is called Time and Again. Absolutely beautiful song. Number 6, and again a very soulful song, pardon the pun, but it's Only My Soul off of the North Winds album. This is one of those songs too that you would think with a little different tuning could have been a killer rock song. Number 5, it's the title track off the debut solo album. It's actually Whitesnake, right? And it talks a little bit about, you're a dark-skinned beauty. I've got a white snake. Let it crawl over you. A lot of double entendre in there. But ultimately, it's the song that birthed an album that birthed a band. It's Whitesnake. Number 4 is a title track off the second solo album, North Winds. It's 6 minutes, and it's a masterpiece in many respects, too. And I often wonder to think, like, if the original recordings of this were digital, how much better would it be? It was all analog back then. But they didn't put a lot of money into it. But I think that you'll enjoy this one. And lyrically, it's a great track. I mean, it's a great, great, great track. Now, my favorite track off the Whitesnake album, and we're talking the David Coverdale Whitesnake solo album, not the Whitesnake self-titled album that you guys know is 87. But it's a track called Blind Man. And I absolutely love it. There's a lot of wisdom in the lyrical content of this one. And if you're unfamiliar with it, you should be familiar with it. Familiarize yourself with it. The first track on the North Winds album, a little more up-tempo. It's Keep On Giving Me Love. Man, don't we all want that? Yes, we do. We all want that. Number 7 on the album and number 1 on our list. And we typically don't end with ballads, but this one is so incredibly beautiful, I think we have to. I think it is basically kind of paints the tapestry that is the David Coverdale vocal experience. Very bluesy in many respects, uses the low register, hits some big notes, but maybe not what he did with Whitesnake. And I think some of that too, David just matured as a vocalist and got a little more confident. But David Coverdale is one of the best blues singers of my lifetime. And I think this track, Say You Love Me, really typifies what David Coverdale is about. And I'm very sad that it's over. And what I mean by that is we're not going to get new music. I'm sure from time to time we'll get some remastered stuff. There'll be some live stuff. And I bought the Slip of the Tongue anniversary box set. I think I've got the Whitesnake box set too, I think. But Dave and those guys pack in so much bonus stuff into those box sets, it's worth it. For me, it's one thing to listen to something on iTunes, and it's more convenient for the car and things of that nature, but there are so many things they put in those box sets. There'll be like live versions and there'll be vinyl. There's so many great things. To me, it's well worth the money. I'm a music guy and I like having the collector's edition type things. And David Coverdale, to me, when I think about everything that is right in music, David Coverdale is one of the names that comes to mind for me. Dave's one of those kinds of people too that it's so easy to like him. He's very active on Twitter. He's very funny and very humorous. And I suspect we'll see more of that from him. But it's sad, though. I mean, it really is. And yeah, it's time to hang it up. It is. I mean, it is. And that's the thing you look at. There's so many people out there that are just kind of hanging on, and maybe they've got a mortgage to pay. But, you know, David is 74 now, and he doesn't look it. He's cut his hair now, and in the video yesterday, you kind of saw that. But, you know, Dave has got a family. Lives in Lake Tahoe, and, you know, he has earned the right to enjoy the balance of his life. He's married to Cindy Coverdale, his third wife. He finally got it right. He was married to Tawny Catane for a short time. Before that, he was married to Julie Barkowski for about a dozen years. But he has been with Cindy since 97, and he professes that she is the love of his life. And I thought the way that he handled Tawny Catane's passing was very gentlemanly of him. Says a lot about Dave. She wasn't exactly the most lovable creature the last several years of her life. As you guys know, she had a lot of problems. But, yeah, it makes me sad. The thing about it is, and maybe because it comes on the heels of, like, Ozzy's passing, and you look at this, and it's like it's a realization, too, that, you know, we're losing these people. You know, Dave obviously is still alive, but it's one of those things, it's like, I can't go buy tickets to see Dave. And there was a lot of talk they were going to do like a reunion tour, kind of a retirement tour. And apparently Dave just can't do it, you know, and that's okay. That's okay. And it means so much to me that I was able to see Whitesnake in my youth. And then I was able to take my son to see him play down in Biloxi. And that year, Ani and I went to 13 shows together. At the end of the year, I asked him, I said, which was the best show you went to? He said, Daddy, it's Whitesnake, easy. He said, those guys are real rock stars. And that's David Coverdale, the rock star of rock stars. And there's so many people out there that have been obviously influenced by his music. Even at Duty Noble Field, you know, with, you know, Landon Sims rolling out of there to Still the Night, man, it's just, I thank Spencer Price for that. But it became a timeless song at an important time in our fandom of Mississippi State. And I joked when they first started playing it. I said, man, they wouldn't play Motley and Whitesnake back in the 80s in the, you know, in the Pete Young days. But now here we are, and it's a regular spin at Duty Noble Field. But, yeah, David and Whitesnake, they're a little double entendre. They kind of got some tongue-in-cheek, Aerosmith, Dr. Demento-type humor at times in their music. But one of the things that I love to do is to put on those interviews with David when he talks about the writing of certain songs, about what was going on with certain musicians and times in his life and what the influence was of certain tracks. And so I hope we'll get more of that. But, again, one of the giants of music of our lifetime has decided to hang it up. And as sad as I am that I'll never get to see him again perform personally, I'm very happy that he is going to have a chance to enjoy his final days with his family and, you know, not be out on the road and things like that. And, you know, it's so much fun for us, but, man, it's a job for them. And I'm sure David has earned enough that he can retire comfortably and just enjoy those that love him the most, that have sacrificed so much to share him with us. So, David, we love you and wish you the best in your retirement. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend on X at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And I'm going to be on social media at Scout Steve R on all platforms. Roy and I are going to see Iron Maiden too. Have I told you? Yeah, we're going to see Iron Maiden in September. 10 months from now, we're going to see Iron Maiden, Megadeth, and Anthrax. I'll remind you between now and then, but we're going to do that. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have things we want. We can't get enough Mississippi State merch. Whether you're looking for apparel, whether you're looking for gift ideas or everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job finding everything out there that we could want Mississippi State related. So many things to choose from. Next time you're in town, stop by and see their smiling faces at Campus Bookmart. It's on the backside of campus. Just tell me, make that turn at the Trooper Station at the posted speed limit, mind you, off 182. And just mosey on around right before you take that right on the campus. There's Campus Bookmart to your left. If you can't make it to the Hound, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That entitles you to no shipping on all orders over $75. And with Christmas coming up, Mom, it's never too early to get an early start. I know many of you are thinking, I'll wait till Thanksgiving. No, don't do that. Go ahead and line up a couple things now. Kind of get a few things marked off your list. You'll be glad you did that. Dad wants that new quarter zip. He wants that new hoodie, whether he tells you or not. Maybe buy yourself a little something, too. That's okay, too. You're a grown up. You can. CampusBookmart.net, your one-stop shop for all your Mississippi State merchandising needs. Okay, Mississippi State men's basketball looking to bounce back this weekend against the Lions of Southeastern. They have struggled mightily. They will play their fourth consecutive road game. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. Maybe perhaps they've had some renovations. I don't know. I'm not pretending to know. But they opened up the year at Ole Miss, losing by 30. They nearly pulled off against Louisiana Lafayette, losing by 6, 58-52. And then traveled to Georgia Tech and lose by 10, 70-60. That happened earlier this week. So 0-3 on the year as they face your 1-1 Bulldogs this Saturday afternoon. Tip-off is scheduled for 2 p.m. Central. If you can't make the game, you can watch it online at SEC Network Plus. Probably a good thing for you. There's a lot going on at Mississippi State this weekend, as you guys are well aware. But, yeah, you're looking for a bounce-back game. These guys are good candidates in that regard. And opponents are averaging 72 points a game against them. They're averaging right at 56 points themselves. You'd expect that from an 0-3 team. They're shooting just 33%. Their opponents are almost shooting 50%. So defense, not a strong suit for the Lions. From beyond the arc, they're shooting right at 26%. Their opponents right at 33%. They're making just about 6 3-pointers a game. Their opponents right at 6 as well. Not necessarily a great free throw shooting team either. It just kind of stands to reason, right? Bad teams typically aren't good at anything. Just 63% from free throws are the Lions. Rebounding, getting about 30 a game, giving up about 38. So it's plus 8 and change for their opponents. Should be a game we can handle that too. They've taken the ball, taken care of the ball a little bit better than their opponents for the most part. It's right. I guess it's right. It's pretty even, actually. When you start looking at assists, it's about 10 assists, almost 11 assists a game for the Lions and 12 for their opponents, and then 44 turnovers against 42. So, you know, 6 one way, half a dozen the other. They pulled out 23 steals. They've given it up 19 times, just 3 blocks, which says a lot about the composition of this roster. They've only had 14 shots blocked against them. But just, again, defense, not really a strong suit for this team. Not much you look at and say, you know what, hey, these guys are good at this. They've got one scorer in double figures this year, and that's Jaden Lawrence. And he's just getting 11. I mean, you know, he's like double digit barely. A 6'4", 195-pound guard from Bowling Green, Kentucky, by way of Warren Central High School, a junior that kind of a volume shooter. He didn't do much against Georgia Tech, but got 14 shots scoured against Ole Miss despite having 4 fouls in the game. Knocked down 3 3-point baskets. Had 15 points for the Lions in that loss. But beyond that, it's kind of by committee, but nobody else has really kind of stepped up. Seth Jones has done some things in just one game for them. 9 points for him on the year. Did not play the first 2 games of the year, but went 9 points in 20 minutes against Georgia Tech. But you start running through this, and you begin to realize that, I mean, there's just no reason to think that we should have any trouble with this game. Got to go out there and play well. But there's no numbers that you look at here and say, you know what, this is going to be a real problem for us. This is going to be a matchup for us. In the post, Isaiah Gaines, a fifth-year player out of Pensacola, Florida, 6'8", 230 pounds, not a volume shooter or scorer. He did have a dozen against Georgia Tech. That's probably a matchup they liked. He was 5-for-9 from the field, pulled down 6 rebounds in the game. He currently leads the team with 16 rebounds through 3 games. So when your big man is averaging 5 boards a game, says a lot, truly does. So we expect the Bulldogs to win this game handily. They need to win this game handily. As you guys are well aware, we're going to be right back on a neutral floor next Thursday against Kansas State. And then we'll leave from there. And we won't leave from there. We'll play the game 2 against either Nebraska or New Mexico, depending on who wins the other Thursday game. So back-to-back games Thursday and Friday next week. So could be an eventful week for us, a chance for us to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit. But got to take care of business against Southeastern Louisiana. And hopefully we can handle that game without much trepidation. I don't know that our hearts can take it, right? And again, as I said, you know, when we talked about this earlier in the week, it's one game, okay? And Iowa State may prove to be a great team. Obviously, they're ranking the top 15. But we may look back in hindsight and say, you know what? Maybe that was a turning point for us, a big learning opportunity for us. As we jump into tonight's coverage, as we're recording the show Thursday night, your Mississippi State ladies are currently playing Jackson State. Got off to a quick start in this one, and you'd expect that. But, you know, we need to win this game. It's 34-14 right now, just before the break, about 4 minutes before the break. So State up 20. We fully expect State to handle this. State at this point shooting 65% from the field and 50% from beyond the arc, out-rebounding the Lady Tigers by 10 so far. So it's good to see the ladies get out and kind of stretch your legs a little bit. When this thing goes final, barring a complete collapse, State should be 4-0. And again, we expected that because this is a very kind of a pedestrian non-conference schedule. We'll take the weekend off and get back into action next Thursday night at Texas Tech in Lubbock. That game can be seen on ESPN+. As we discussed earlier in the week too, your Mississippi State soccer team will host an NCAA tournament game this Saturday. Kickoff is 5 p.m. from the Mississippi State Soccer Complex. We'll take on Lipscomb, the winners of the Atlantic Sun Conference, and see how things go from there. You know, as we discussed earlier in the week, too, I mean, you just got to win in advance and just kind of see what happens. But, you know, 4 consecutive NCAA tournament berths for the Mississippi State soccer team. Coach Zimmerman doing a nice job. Of course, we got to a great start to begin the season and, you know, beat number 1 Tennessee, ended up beating Arkansas again. Kind of a tough week for Arkansas. You know, they lose to us in football, lose in soccer, lose in volleyball. Hopefully they can lose to us in basketball too. But things are kind of moving along in the Mississippi State athletic experience here. Again, it's non-conference in men's and women's basketball, but postseason in soccer. So there's a lot to cheer for, a lot to get excited about. And hopefully we can find some things to get excited about this weekend on the road in Missouri. I'm going to give you my final thoughts here in the final segment of this. But before we get into that too, Mississippi State signing day was here. We had a lot of softball and soccer and, of course, baseball players. Had an article up today. So currently 8th in baseball, our perfect game rankings. Quincy Bright is a player that it was committed to State. Had the Tommy John surgery. It's taken him a little while to recover. He tells me today he has not signed, and he may not. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. Martin Schuler and Hardcastle, those guys, everybody else is fine. Everybody else that was currently committed has signed the proper documentation. They are now officially Bulldogs. The recruiting process officially over for them. But the Bulldogs may not be done in the 2026 class. So still some room to kind of move, have some upward mobility in the rankings for what that's worth. Got a couple more guys going to visit. Hopefully we'll get them both. But, you know, no guarantees on any of that stuff. So, but a lot to feel good about. And Brian O'Connor inherited a few commitments, but the bulk of the commitments in this class are players that he and his staff recruited. And there were a few that Justin Parker was on that were kind of holdovers from the previous staff. Like, you know, Beckett Dawn is a great example of that. Beckett Dawn obviously is a guy, too, that had some connections to Mississippi State through some family friends that had heard a lot about Mississippi State over the years. And he emerged as one of the top pitching prospects in the Midwest. Now he's headed to be a Bulldog. So we share that with you because there is always something to cover. You know, we have a lot of fans out there. It's like game day is like the main day. But we've got some other folks out there that Mississippi State 365, right? And it's our joy and duty to cover all that for you. And we hope in the years ahead, we're probably about a year away from this, but we want to have a full-time staff member to cover more of the women's sports. It's important to me. You know, I got girls. I was largely raised by women, and we want to expand our coverage to do more on the women's side. So we're probably, I don't know, 10 months, 12 months away from that. And but we do plan to add a staff member in 2026 to allocate more time and coverage to the women's sports side of things. So, you know, if you know somebody, again, it's not going to happen right away, but if you know somebody that might be interested in that, be sure and have them hit me up. But, you know, I'd like to have somebody with some level of experience, whether they be as a student athlete, you know, or with a writing background. But, you know, some other people out there, I guess, kind of cutting back in our industry when it comes to coverage, we're looking to expand ours. So I share that with you because I always feel guilty on days like today. There's so much going on. It's a travel day for us tomorrow. So, you know, we're kind of working ahead. And so we did, obviously, our women's basketball and basketball signing stuff, and we did our baseball stuff, but we didn't get to volleyball. We didn't get to softball. We don't want that to be something that becomes a regular thing. We have respect for all of our Mississippi State student athletes. And again, we're going to dedicate a full-time staff member position to help cover those events. Now, obviously, everybody's on deck when we do football. Everybody, you know, everybody involved is going to be involved with football coverage. But as we get into end of the next year, that's important to me. You know, it is. And the thing that I always say about that stuff is just because those sports don't sell a ton of tickets don't mean they're not important. It doesn't mean that those student athletes work any less. They're worthy of our coverage. They're worthy of our respect. And I remember when I first came aboard Gene's Page, man, 25 years ago, you know, we had dreams of days like this. And I think one of the things that has allowed us to kind of be a separator on the Mississippi State beat is the fact that we do cover so much. We cover all the big sports more extensively than anybody else. But in addition to that, we have a big staff, and we're able to allocate people and give them responsibilities. So days like today, when things are very, very busy, we can kind of get to everything. But even with our staff, there are certain things that we're not able to get to. And I want to remove those holes in our coverage. So I share that with you because there's always a vision. And I remember, man, when I came aboard 25 years ago, I was thinking, man, I'd love to be able to go to all the games. You know, wouldn't it be great to just have a job where you just cover Mississippi State for a living and you go to all the football games and you go to all the baseball games, somebody goes to all the basketball games? Well, we're here. You know, we're here. We don't cover all the road basketball games as much as we'd like. We did a ton last year. But we'd love to be able to kind of graduate to a point that we become your one-stop shop even more so because we've got a full crew. And it's a tribute to our work ethic, but also your support over the years. And so come be a part of it over at jeanspage.com as we continue to try to find a way to expand our coverage of our great university. Those are things that I think about regularly. You know, we write over 300 stories a month just about Mississippi State. It's Mississippi State all the time with us. Every day, that's what we do. We write about Mississippi State. Whether it be recruiting or whether it be, you know, women's sports or men's sports, all that stuff matters to us. And I remember being a kid, you know, Clarion Ledger would come out and some days there'd be a story about Mississippi State and some days there wouldn't be. And some days we'd get a 400-word brief. We were glad to have it. And now that it's my watch, I'm going to ensure that the next generation of Mississippi State fans gets adequate and exemplary coverage of Bulldog Athletics. So, again, we're going to expand our staff even more next year. We're not eliminating any positions. We're adding a position here in about 10, 11 months. That's the plan anyway. So this time next year, we hope to be introducing you to a full-time women's sports writer at jeanspage.com. Our final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle where you bring a large group to town, and you certainly should. You owe it to yourself. You've always thought about how cool would it be, man, if we all just like rented a house and just like spent a couple nights together, you know, played some Trivial Pursuit, maybe knocked back a cold one, DoorDash some food, go to a ball game. Wouldn't it be great if we just kind of did that? And maybe it's in a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. It shouldn't be, but maybe it is. The best place to do it is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We've stayed there. We had a blast. It won't be a one-off for us. We're not going to be able to do it this New Year's. We did it last year. Watched a ton of football, ate a bunch of pizza, and just enjoyed each other. You need to enjoy the people that you love, whether they be friends or family or both, just by making a stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate, and you can see all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths, plenty of parking. That's an amenity we don't talk about enough, and the more that I travel, the more I appreciate good parking. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands. They saved it. They renovated it. And as you can imagine, there's plenty of places for you to park, and you get a lot of peace and quiet out there. Only a couple neighbors around. We don't want you throwing a rager, but it's just an example of how nice and quaint it is out there. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up. You can go Airbnb or VRBO if you want to. That's completely up to you. Completely up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay. So just by listening to this show, you're saving some money at the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, final thoughts on this Missouri game. Okay, let me tell you what worries me. What worries me is their running game, and even though they're one-dimensional, they're still really good. As we discussed on Wednesday show, they got basically a two-headed monster led by Mod Hardy. Didn't play a whole lot in the first half last week. Ran pretty angry in the second half. You know, we'll see how things kind of play out there for him. And I suspect if Eli Drinkwitz leaves, he probably hits a portal and probably fetches a pretty good payday. They know that we know that they're going to have to run the football. And so as a result, I think they'll do some things to try to get us over-pursuing a little bit. Maybe some play action rollout, maybe some naked boot and things like that. I mean, you got a quarterback you got to protect. You don't have any other scholarship guys. If they do run him, it's going to be out of necessity. It's not going to be out of design. If he gets flossed, he's going to run. But that offensive line's been pretty good. And if you watch that A&M game, and you know how good A&M's defense is, they were able to run the football and kind of make it a war of attrition for a half. Then lo and behold, you get the big turnover, and a 7-0 game becomes a 14-0 game. Then A&M begins to kind of pull away, and it gets you out of your offense. And, you know, Hardy had a big run late when the game was pretty much decided. But that worries me a little bit because we haven't tackled well the last couple of weeks. We didn't tackle well at all against Georgia. So despite the fact their one dimension is really good, you know, we're going to have to be probably our best game of the year defensively. We've had some moments, but we hadn't been able to put together four solid quarters on both sides of the line of scrimmage. We're going to need our defensive front and our linebackers to fit gaps and not let those running backs get up and going, period. I think in the end, you're probably going to have seven or eight guys in the box. I think State will stack the box here and then make this kid, Zollers, make plays with his arm. Now, he's a very capable quarterback. They think he's a future of the program. They didn't recruit him for no reason. But It's senior day. You didn't have a good start last week. You know, when you played against Vanderbilt, you kind of got thrown to the wolves and they had a limited playbook. And, you know, Drinkwitz said earlier this week, they've got to do a better job getting him comfortable early. And as we discussed earlier this week, you know, that's a controlled passing game. Get him in a rhythm. Have him throw the bubble. Have him throw some slants and some screens. Simplify his reads. And a lot of that, too, is to keep your defense honest. You got to take a shot every now and again. So they're going to go some seven-man max protect. Try to get Kevin Coleman paired up one-on-one with a safety. You know what's going to happen. If they hit that shot, they're going to feel pretty good about life. If they don't, then all of a sudden it's second and 10, third and 10. It kind of gets you out of the running element. It's so important for State to win on first down defensively. We've got to win on first down. We cannot get into these second and mediums and third and shorts. If that happens, it's going to be a very long night and probably a very short ball game because they're just going to continue to chew up the clock and keep running and running and running until we prove we can stop them. That's one of the reasons I think it's so important for us. You know, Blake Shapen has been very good on first drives this year. You go down, you get the first touchdown, hopefully, right? Hopefully. You can script that out. That's one thing Levy's been exceptionally good at this year is scoring early. We haven't been able to kind of maintain that momentum at times through games. But I think in a situation like this, if you're able to get the ball first and go down and get a score, it immediately puts more pressure on that young quarterback. And I think one of the things that's important for us is we've got to go hit the quarterback. We've got to let him know we're thinking about him. I remember years ago, Joe Lee Dunn told me this before the 2001 Egg Bowl. We're going to hit Eli Manning the first play of the game. It may cost us 15 yards, but we're going to hit him. We're going to let him know right out of the gate it's going to be a fight. Now, I'm not saying we go out there and do anything egregious, but you've got to let this young quarterback know it is going to be a fight. And every time that he goes back to pass, there needs to be traffic in his face. If you can get there, you get home, you make the play. If not, you got to get a hand in his face and ensure that he gets the ball out a little bit early. Get him off rhythm a little bit. But we can't sit back and just let him hand off all night long. Period. It kind of reminds me a little bit, you know, like when Brandon Allen was at Arkansas in the beginning stages of his career. It's like every third and long, he just threw the ball out of bounds. You know, when his first or second read wasn't there, just throw it away. Avoid the sack. And I think this is a similar type game. This running game is going to be on par with anything that we've seen this year, including Georgia. The difference is you don't have to account for the quarterback as part of the run game. You did against Arkansas. You did against Georgia. Both quarterbacks made some plays with their feet. I thought Gunnar Stockton was really good last week. Missouri can ill afford to have another quarterback get hurt. Now, you can't go out there and play scared, but you got to play smart. You lose this quarterback and lose this football game, you're probably staring 6-6 right in the face and a very apathetic fan base. And again, you've already got people that had bought in thinking this was going to be a playoff team that are thinking we need a coaching change. It's unfair. I mean, you lose QB1 and QB2, anybody in this league is going to struggle, period. The league is just too good. There's a reason the guy's your third-team quarterback. It's because he's not ready. And now you're forced to play him. So we've got to do a good job defensively to ensure that we make Zollers play football and not just manage a game and hand the football off. You stack the box, you fit gaps, you get those guys before they get going. Now, if they get through, you're not going to have much in the open field to run them down. But I suspect you're going to see some different alignments, some different formations as Missouri takes the field. Eli Drinkwitz is no idiot. He understands. We understand the deficiencies in that offense. They're going to play to their strengths. We have to do the same. Now, the flip side of it is, offensively, they've been really good on the edge, rushing the quarterback. We have not been great protecting the edge. And so I think, hey, there's a possibility for some draw play here. There's some possibility for some screen action here. They got gashed last week on a tunnel screen by A&M. They use a tight end a little bit too. I think we like to dial up the shot down the field. You got to go max protect to do that, which means it's usually a two-man route. So you go, you know, seven protection, and then you just kind of let it fly. And so when those things happen, and we've had some difficulties at times, even in seven-man max pro, keeping people off our quarterback, these edges, really good, really good. And they're really good against the run. We're going to have to do some things, I think, a little more creatively to ensure that we're able to, to kind of get this running game going. If that means some jet sweeps, if that means some end arounds, then that's what it means. And I think Camario's got to be a part of that too. When you think about Blake, and this is not a shot at Blake, but if it's a QB run with Blake in the ball game, you're just kind of hoping he can get a few yards and get down. With Camario, you understand, if he gets into the open field, there's a chance he could run away from people. So I think if you're Jeff Lebby, you've got to utilize both quarterbacks. And maybe it's a situational type thing. I just don't think that we're going to be able to hold up and throw the football 25, 30 times a game, at least not down the field. We can do some things kind of creatively, moving Anthony Evans and Brennan Thompson behind the formation to get them paired up on a safety in motion, and maybe that becomes kind of an extension of the running game. But this is a sure enough good Missouri defense. It is. And it's a ball control offense, and so they shorten the game on you and they keep their defense fresh. We're going to have to put some extended drives together, but I expect this to be an ugly game. Turnovers could be a big part of this thing too. They're not a team that has been especially prolific. And that's another thing, kind of flipping back to defense quickly here. If you're Eli Drinkwitz, and I know some people see him at times as like he's a mad scientist, but the reality of it is when you have a secondary that has been as opportunistic as ours, that's not the secondary you want to take chances with a young quarterback. So I think they'll script some things out. Norfleet, the very talented tight end, has 5 touchdown catches, which leads the team. Still a bit banged up, listed as questionable for this week. I'm sure if he can play, he will play. It's senior day. But that's a guy that's been banged up. He's had an upper body injury. It's been a shoulder thing. He's also got a future in front of him. A lot of people believe he's going to be an NFL player. How much influence can he have on this game? Because the best friend of a young quarterback is the tight end. And one of the things that they do a good job of is just kind of feigning block and then slip out just when you think they're blocking. And all of a sudden, your linebacker trains his eyes on the backfield, you lose track of him, and it's a big play. So that aspect of this has got to be important too. We've got to make sure secondary-wise that we hold up, but we don't need to give them easy completions to the tight end. Back on offense, I do think against the secondary some plays can be made. I do think from an athletic point of view, I do think we have a plus in the talent differential with our skill against their defensive skill. I don't think we have an advantage up front against their front 7. I do think if we can protect, there can be some plays made on the back end, and that's an important part of this for us. We've got to make sure when those shots are there, we hit them. I don't think anybody in college football can run with Brennan Thompson. But we've got to be in a scenario where they're respecting the run and not playing too high safeties. That's an important aspect of this. It's all complementary football. But I fully expect to win this game, but I think it's going to be a close one. I mean, it may be one of these 20-17 or 17-14 type games. I don't think it's going to turn into a shootout, and I don't think a shootout favors Missouri. But I think defensively they're a team that that can cause some trouble for you. I think one of the most important things for Mississippi State is to take care of the football and avoid the negative plays. And we have had so much of that, 2nd 12, 2nd 13. You got to avoid this. You can't get in predictable passing downs because Missouri will come get you. They absolutely will. But, we talked about, conference play and scoring and things like that. They put up some really good numbers in non-conference play. But you look down the stretch here as of late, A&M puts up 38, could have been 45, could have been. Vanderbilt puts up 17. Interesting game, very defensive game. And you know what Pavia can do. And Missouri made this a four-quarter game. Pavi and those guys score late to win the game. You know how good Auburn's defense is, right? And they scored 23 points against the Auburn defense. Put up 24 against Alabama. You know, but, you know, I throw these things out there because anybody thinking that, well, this is going to be a walk in the park, you're kidding yourself. We're going to have to go play well. But this is not Georgia, and this is not Arkansas. And I don't think it can be overstated enough what difference not having to account for the quarterback run could mean in this ball game. This is, in many respects, when we're on defense, it's going to be like the old 3 yards on a cloud of dust game. The old SEC, where you line up and you just go and try to blow people off the football. So you're going to have some guys, you know, depth's going to be an important part of this thing because I think it's going to be a war of attrition on the line throughout the game. So the sooner that we can get some separation, if we can get some separation, the better off things are going to be. You know, big plays, chunk plays, probably in short supply in this game. You know, I think it's going to be one of those games where teams just kind of have to methodically kind of race down the field, which, again, I think makes it, in some respects, a special teams game. You know, Ethan Pulliam could be a real difference maker in this game. I hope he doesn't have to punt at all. But if he does, he is a guy that I think could be a difference maker because it's all those hidden yards within the game, flipping the field, making them snap the football two or three extra times. And field goal-wise, you know, they got a young guy, a freshman kicker that's 9 of 12. He's also missed a couple of extra points. Everything with them on field goal and place kicking has been a bit of a hold-your-breath activity. Kyle Ferry's missed a couple field goals, but I think this is a game where he can excel for us, and I think every opportunity you have to get points, you have to get points. This isn't an offense as explosive as Georgia, where you go up there and you go for it, you know, like the Mad Hatter on a couple fourth down plays to prove to your team you're there to win. I think any opportunity you have to get a field goal, you got to take it. You have to, because that's going to, I think, enable you to get separation. When you get three and they don't, then all of a sudden you get a touchdown, all of a sudden it's a 10-point ball game. We can ill afford to sit back on fourth down and make bad decisions, and even when we make a bad decision, call a good play and not get the result we want. When we get into field goal range, a la Florida, a la Georgia, you got to take the field goal. You have to, period. So, Jeff, I don't know if you're listening, take the points. Take the points. Again, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I do think the Bulldogs come out on top. And I think it's one of those most important things, too. If you want to win the Egg Bowl, I think winning this one makes that more of a possibility because you're going to be under a lot less pressure. There's always pressure associated with the battle for the Golden Egg. But if your postseason hangs in the balance, there's even more pressure. And we talk about this all the time. Coaching is about exerting pressure and handling pressure. We win this game, all the pressure is on them. It's all on them. And so if you're Jeff Lebby, you got to ensure that you make sure that happens. You got to make sure that you win this one, get into an open date, and then prepare for the rivalry game, which could be Lane Kiffin's last regular season game at Ole Miss. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think it's pretty safe to say there's enough chatter up there that it's worth discussion. If you hadn't done so, visit dutynoblebook.com. I want to thank everybody that came out to the Bulldog Shop in Meridian yesterday. There are signed copies of When the Bottom Falls, Dog Pile, and The Dude. So if you're in Meridian and couldn't make the book signing, but you'd like to pick up those books, you can find them at the Bulldog Shop downtown in Meridian. And I love going downtown Meridian. I really do. I really enjoy going to Meridian, period. Got a lot of good friends down there, some people that I really love. And so you can go by the Bulldog Shop and pick up signed copies. And you won't have to pay shipping or anything. Just go in there and grab them and go home and wrap them, right? Don will be happy to see you. But if you need to order online, you can do so at dutynoblebook.com. While you're there, you can get copies of Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, When the Bottom Falls, Dog Pile, and The Dude. So 6 of my 7 books available, all signed copies. If you need them personalized, we can get that done for you too. But every Bulldog fan needs copies of Dogpile. Everybody. And you need to have these in your game day condo, around your house. And I got one of my friends in Meridian. She said, "Hey, I've got your books everywhere in my house." And I appreciate that, and look forward to getting back down to Meridian soon. And if the opportunity arises between now and Christmas to get down there and sign books for you guys, we'll do that too. Okay, we'll make arrangements. It's just an hour and a half for me, basically, and we can do that. Maybe one Saturday during the holidays, we'll just show up down there. Or I assume Dawn's open on Saturdays, but even if she's not, maybe one day before Christmas, I'll get back down there, and we can sign some books for you. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Been a really busy week for us. You can go ahead and take advantage of the Black Friday special. You buy one, get one free. There's packages available. It's a great gift. I guarantee you this. You know somebody in your life that could use a break. You do. Whether they're stressed out, maybe they're going through a relationship change, a job change, a life change of some sort. You know somebody that's a little bit overstressed. Send them our way. And maybe buy them a package for Christmas. But maybe if the anxiety can't wait for that, go ahead and have them come on over. 662-268-7601. If you or somebody you know suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, or you just need a break, maybe a mental reset, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Yeah. You dial that number, you speak directly to my wife, Dana, who was a registered nurse for many years. She can answer any questions you may have. We can get you scheduled. If you'd like to learn more information, visit truerest.com. And come join us over at jeanspage.com, the premier Mississippi State media entity. A lot of good stuff going on. As I mentioned, we'll be out in Columbia this weekend. Jacob and David are currently covering the women's basketball game. We'll have full coverage of that later at jeanspage.com. And again, if you're listening on Friday, you can go find that. But by the time many of you listen to this show, we will already be on our way to Branson, Missouri. As I mentioned, we're taking in a high school basketball game, and we'll have full coverage of that for you Saturday morning before we head over to Shakespeare's Pizza in Columbia, before we get to the great football game. So it's a full weekend for us, but it's a work weekend for us. And you can help support us, but also to learn more about your favorite sports team, Mississippi State, by joining jeanspage.com. That's going to do it for this week, man. I'll be back with you guys on Monday. And people always say, "Steve, I can't believe you drive all the way back after a game on Saturday." I don't know if we do it this time. It will just depend on how I feel. Sometimes I get back, I get the second wind when I see the Mississippi State line. There's no way I'm going to stop in Mississippi, right? But we'll see. I mean, I never make any firm plans, but there are a lot of times I get in the car and I'm thinking I'm driving all the way back. But this being an evening game, it just may not be worth it, you know. So we'll see. I'm not going to kill myself out there. But we will definitely be back with you on Monday. But I hope that you all have a great weekend. I hope you get a chance to get out and go cheer for Mississippi State in some capacity, whether it be men's basketball or the soccer game, or in Columbia, Missouri at the football game. It's so great when we get a chance to go out in person and support our student-athletes. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.